We've been talking about how to stay positive in a negative world. We've got a couple of lessons still left on this. There's 10 in total. I'm not going to cover all 10 of them. I think I'm going to end at 8. I skipped one already. To me, I mean, it's a great lesson, but it was not pertinent to our time right now, what we're dealing with or going through, and I just didn't have liberty to teach that one. So I skipped that one. We'll skip another one. I think we'll end at about 8. But this morning, we want to talk about making life sweet. Making life sweet. I know that many of you are like me. You have a sweet tooth. You enjoy a nice sugary snack, pie, ice cream, donut now and again, whatever it might be. Probably our sweet tooth is at sometimes out of control, a little bit more than we should have, maybe. We're involved in eating more of that than we really should, but, we can't live our life on sweets, but it is nice to occasionally have a nice treat. God wants us as His people to enjoy life. God wants us to have and enjoy the things that He gave us here in this world. I mean, it's amazing when you think about the ability of the human body to appreciate and enjoy warmth or to enjoy a nice fire or to enjoy a great meal. I mean, just the savoriness of a meal or the sweetness of a meal. It's just enjoyable. And that's, God gave us those taste buds and the ability to enjoy that, or to enjoy a good joke, to laugh and have fun together. This is what God wants us to do. The word sweet appears 108 times in the Word of God in 103 different verses. And might be a good study for somebody sometime if they wanted to look at that in the Word of God and see what brings sweetness to the life of a believer. What does the Bible talk about when it talks about sweet things? And might be an engaging study for somebody, but, in our world today, largely the problem for many, even for Christians, is that they would like to have a sweet life, but they're spending their days eating sour grapes. That's the problem. One cannot eat sour grapes and expect it to taste like honey. It just doesn't happen. You can't just gorge yourself on sour grapes and expect to have the sweetness of honey. Some scripture passages here that kind of apply to what I'm saying is, he says in Isaiah 5, verse number 20, he says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Proverbs 20, verse number 17 says, "The bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel." And in James chapter 3, verse number 11, he says, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?" They, in fact, don't go together. And if we truly want to experience the sweetness of life, then we can't listen to the lie of Satan. Especially as God's people, we cannot listen to the lie of Satan and go out and partake of the wickedness of this world and fill ourselves up with sour grapes. The bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. We can't go out and just partake of the bread of deceit, live life as if we don't know God, and then expect our life to be sweet. The fact is we're going to reap from that sowing. So we want to be cautious and use some wisdom. And this morning we want to talk about how to make your life sweet. Making life sweet, even at the time when maybe it's not as pleasurable or as enjoyable as others. So let me give you some thoughts this morning. First of all, a personal relationship with the Savior makes life sweet. In Psalms 104, verses 33 and 34, he says, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have been." He's saying, as long as I am, I'll praise God. I'll sing unto God. He says, "My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord." King David had an abiding love for the Lord, and this caused him to sing about God. This caused him to sing unto God. And he said, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to sing praises to God. As long as I have the ability, I'm going to sing and extol the virtues and the love of God. Listen, beloved, the music that you listen to is important. It does you good. Sometimes you might not feel like singing. But, you know, happiness is to know the Savior. I mean, just get a song in your heart. You don't feel like singing. You say, well, I don't feel like it. But you start singing it and it will bring joy to your heart. And so the music you listen to is very important. What is it that you are putting into your life? What music are you sticking in there? You want to have sweetness of life. You want to enjoy life. You've got to put sweet music in. You've got to put music that feeds your soul instead of drains it. And I can just tell you, beloved, that this world's music drains your soul. I know it feeds the flesh. The bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards, there's a battle going on in your soul when you're listening and engaging in this world's music. But when you're listening to or engaging in or singing God's music, it feeds your soul. It strengthens you. It gives you a liveliness in your step. It helps you through the day. Instead of costing you energy, it gives you energy. And if you have never experienced that, let me encourage you to get some good music. We have in the bookstore here lots of options for that. One of the things that I do whenever I find somebody struggling with especially challenges in their mind, they're dealing with anxiety, they're dealing with hope, they're struggling in a time of worry or concern, the number one thing I do is I find out what music they've got to listen to. And I encourage them, just put it on, just let it play. Put it in the background of your home and just let it play. Just have it in your car when you're driving to work in the morning. Listen to that good music. Hey, that'll do a lot more to encourage you and give you peace in your heart than listening to the news. You got to listen to the right kind of music. It'll bring sweetness to your life. Listening to the wrong kind of music will, in fact, sour your soul. It'll sour your soul. One way to make your life sweet is to baptize it in the melodies that extol the marvelous nature of our great Creator. David sang unto the Lord, and this heart of song was born out of a heart that spent much time pondering and meditating on God. He says, my meditation of Him shall be sweet. That song is born out of a heart where you're thinking about them. Just think about young love and how as they ponder each other so much, they're writing poems about each other and they're thinking about each other. And it's just this continually pondering and thinking about an individual. Well, you build a relationship with God the same way you do with someone else, and that is to spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. Spending time with God brought David to a place where he was a man after God's own heart. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. He'll keep you in perfect peace. Can I ask you, where's your mind? Is it stayed? Is it pondering, thinking about, meditating on God? A relationship with God will stir you. It'll help you. It'll bring sweetness to your life. There's a song, I don't know if you all know it, goes like this. I just keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. I just keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh my, what a love between my Lord and I. I just keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. Are you falling in love with God over and over again? Are the days getting sweeter and sweeter as they go by? That's brought about by pondering and thinking about God, meditating upon God and who He is for you. Is your mind on the Lord? Do you have a personal relationship with God? Sadly, I think many, many Christians don't have a personal relationship with God. They are saved. They know God as their Lord and Savior, but they don't spend any time meditating upon Him or singing praises to Him or praying unto Him or reading His letter to us outside of Sunday morning or Sunday night church. Beloved, let me encourage you. Establish and build and grow that relationship. It'll change your life. It'll bring sweetness when the days are sour. You need to be spiritually minded. Have you ever heard somebody say, man, that guy's so heavenly minded, he's of no earthly good? No, I don't think that's really possible. It's not possible to be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. For the more heavenly minded we are, the more earthly good we will be. But it is abundantly possible for us to be so earthly minded we're of no heavenly good. And I just want to encourage you this morning, put your mind on God. Build a relationship with your Savior and it'll bring sweetness to your life. Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what it is. Be heavenly minded. That's spiritually minded. It's life and peace. But to be carnally minded brings death. You want sweetness in your life? Get with God. Spend time with Him. Also, a passionate regard for the Scriptures makes life sweet. Not just a personal relationship with your Savior, but a passionate regard for the Scriptures. Understanding and valuing the Scriptures. Psalms 119, that passage of Scripture that talks about the Word of God and what it should be for us. Verse 97 through 104 says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, though thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. From thee. I'm sorry, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Hey, fall in love with the Word of God. Fall in love with the Word of God. He talks here about his life and how God had blessed him so much because he was living it by the principles of the Word of God. Fall in love with the Word of God. Let it be sweet to you. Beloved, the Word of God produces life. The Word of God produces. This is not just a dead it's not the dead law. This is an alive book that transforms your life. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hey, the Word of God produces life. Where the things produce death, the Word of God brings life. The Word of God promotes growth. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. The Word of God produces growth. As we spend time in the Word of God, we grow as a Christian. We grow closer to our Savior. It produces growth and it provides cleaning. It provides cleaning. Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Man, living in this world, it's just a fact of nature. Just like when you go out for a day, you may not even were planning to get dirty, but you're just out and about and involved in anything of any kind, and you end up getting dirty. You got to get clean again. Same thing in this life. You don't realize it, but you get out into the world and you just start getting dirty. And you need the Word of God to clean your soul, to wash you from the inside out. Are you spending time in the Word of God? The fact is you'll become sweeter and sweeter as you invest time and energy and effort in reading the Word of God, letting that power of the Word of God transform you, cleanse you, provide life and provide growth in your life. D.L. Moody is credited with the quote that many of you have written in your Bibles. And I know almost all have heard that the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Beloved, get in the Word of God. Also, we need a purposeful retrieval of wisdom. A purposeful retrieval of wisdom. You know, wisdom is something that it's not just either you have it or you don't. Some people are like, man, he's wise. Wish I could be like that. You can. You see, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We're supposed to seek for wisdom like hidden treasure, for its value is far above gold and rubies and precious stones. We're to value wisdom and, as I said here, purposefully try and retrieve it. Go after wisdom. Don't just say, oh, well, I'm ignorant, so it's just the way it is. You don't have to live life that way. God's wisdom is available for you. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 19 through 24, he says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down by the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. What a blessing to have sweet sleep. To have a good night's rest. My, I have talked to and have myself been the victim of doing something foolish. Of making a decision that, you know, just recently I bought one of those pillows from the MyPillow guy. I just wanted to support him. You know, this world wants to give him a hard time because he's praising God and wants to knock him down because he's giving credit to the Lord for his business and for getting him out of drugs and all that. And I said, well, I'll buy a pillow. It's not much, but I'll support the business. I didn't really need a pillow. I liked the pillow I had. But so I got this new amazing pillow. To be honest, I didn't notice much difference. It's a good pillow. It is better than most pillows from the store, I'll tell you that. Because I really like a fat, stable pillow. But that's neither here nor there for the principle of the message this morning. But what I'm saying is the pillow, for my sleep, it didn't make that much difference. But you know what's made the biggest difference in my life that I've known? When I can lay my head down on my pillow and I've got no cares in the world, I've got no burdens, I can lay my head down with peace and quietness with the Lord and just lay down to rest. He says, thou shalt lie down and thy sleep shall be sweet. You see, a good night's sleep is a gift from God. Because we can cast our cares upon Him. For He careth for us. We know that. But also, beloved, because we have used the wisdom that He has given us to keep from making foolish decisions. Those things that would cause us to lay awake at night worrying, stressed about the decisions we made. God, our Creator, knows our body needs rest. Throughout the day, we expend energy. We burn it up, depending upon your level of engagement in life, or maybe your stage of life. Sometimes you get tired a little easier when you're more mature. Sometimes, you know, but, you know, you hear the stories, the young people, the kids are out playing, and what do parents say? Boy, they're going to sleep good tonight. Because they've expended all of that energy. Everyone here knows the wonderful joy of meeting a day, meeting that new day after a good night's rest. You wake up and the sun is shining and you've slept well and you've had a good night's rest. And you know that. God wants you to have that. He wants you to experience it. Yet, increasingly, polls are showing that people aren't getting the rest they need. People aren't getting good quality rest. They've got all kinds of apps for your phone that you could tie to your watch. Let it track your sleep and tell you when your best hours of sleep are. It'll wake you up at the perfect time. About noon sounds good. It'll wake you up at the best time so you get the best sleep. And what I mean, all this stuff. They blame it on the blue screens, you know, that steals your sleep. You're supposed to, an hour before bed or longer, don't look at any devices because that keeps your body from being able to shut down. You know, one of the biggest problems is the stress. You know where most stress comes from? Foolish decisions. You know, I mean, why did you buy that car? Why did you make that decision without talking to somebody? Without asking any advice? Why did you go do that? And now you're having trouble sleeping. We need wisdom, folks. We need wisdom to live our life. We can have sweet sleep if we would exercise wisdom in our days. And I'm not even talking about sin. I mean, that's a whole other aspect, the weight of sin. We dealt with that last week, talking about a clear conscience. But I'm just talking about being stupid. Just not using your head. I mean, if you would have asked anybody with any wisdom, they would have told you that was not a wise choice. But now you're burdened with this weight and you can't sleep at night and you're wondering, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? You need wisdom. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. Most of the heartache that's brought onto in our lives is brought on by our own foolish decisions because of a lack of wisdom. Poor life choices will rob you of the rest that God wants you to have. But those who wisely tap into the wisdom that God has provided, they make good life choices. And they enjoy the sweet rest and have no regrets. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 through 9 says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. You understand, life is a series of choices. Where you are 6 months from now, where you are next year, is the result of the choices that you make today. Maybe you're having a hard time sleeping now because of some choices you've made in the past. Start getting wisdom. Don't just continue down that path. Wisdom's available to us. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He'll give you wisdom. Seek for it. Start making the right choices, and then 6 months from now or a year from now, this burden, this weight will be gone, and you'll have made some good choices and be able to enjoy and sleep that sweet rest. Also, a pleasant routine of speech makes life sweet. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and hath health to the bones. Pleasant words. Have you ever taken a warm biscuit and put a little butter on there and the butter starts to melt? And then you take some honey and put it on there and that warm biscuit, because the honey's soft, just starts to just spread. And you say, oh, that's like dessert. It's delicious. So good. That's what he says here. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. Listen, if you've taken the lesson thus far and you've chosen in your mind to, okay, I want to spend time with the Savior. I'm going to search the Scriptures. I'm going to get some wisdom. Now it's time to take what God's given us and share that sweetness. That pleasant words and sweetness to the soul, and we have the ability to spread that around a little bit. We don't have to hold it all in for ourselves. We can share the love of God and the joy of the Lord as we talk to others. And not only is it sweet to those that we talk to, but it is sweet for us. We get the blessings of it. You know, I know that you've all heard the phrase that you catch more flies with honey than vinegar. You catch more flies with honey than vinegar. Hey, you need to learn how to use your speech with some honey, a little less vinegar. It's not necessary to be so sour all the time. Psalms 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, he says. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. If you want to have a sweet life, learn how to control your tongue. Learn how to express yourself sweetly. You know, one of the biggest problems in marriages is husbands and wives just haven't learned how to keep their mouth shut. They just haven't learned how. I mean, you've just got to say it. You have just got to express that one last jab, that one last attack, that one last, you got to prove that you're right. Instead of just controlling your mouth. Imagine the transformation in some homes if we just changed 50% of the communication in the home to sweet communication. It would help you. And I know you're going to need God's help in this area. This is not something you've got a habit of spewing vinegar. It just comes out. You don't even think about it. It just flows. You're going to need God's help. But I'm telling you, it'll change your home. It'll change your life. If you change and start to express what should be the love of God in our heart, if you find how to do that, confess the sin of speaking all of that vileness and then ask God to help you to communicate in a sweet, in a loving way. 1 Peter 3, 10 through 12 says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. You want to love life, see good days? Control your tongue. Control your tongue. And his lips, that they speak no guile, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Remember, beloved, we're going to give an account for every idle word. I encourage you, you want to love life? You want to enjoy it? You want to have sweetness of life? Then, hey, we need a pleasant routine of speech. Let our speech be always seasoned with grace. Also, a present realization of success makes life sweet. A present realization of success makes life sweet. There's nothing quite like victory, quite like accomplishing something. I personally don't know any other way to live than to set a goal or, you know, even daily, just here's what I want to accomplish today. Here's my goals for today. Setting a goal and shooting for it. Proverbs 13:19 says, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Desired accomplished is sweet to the soul. Hey, we need to set some goals and accomplish it. Desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. It's achieving something that you set out to do. Man, there's nothing like it. The satisfaction. You talk about improving your self-esteem. You talk about boasting you up or building you up a little bit or giving you strength and giving you a spring in your step, giving you sweetness in your soul. Set a goal and achieve it. Accomplish it. I mean, the problem with a lot of philosophy today is they want to prop people up that haven't done anything. They want to say, oh, good job. Good job for trying. When in the person's heart, they know they failed. And it's no wonder kids have such low self-esteem. Everybody's around propping them up for doing nothing. And in their heart, they know they haven't accomplished it. It says desire accomplished is sweet. And I could teach an entire lesson just on goal setting and how to set goals, and you need to have short-term goals and mid-term goals and long-term goals, and you need to have financial goals, and you need to have educational goals, and you need to have spiritual goals, and you need to have family goals, and you need to have personal goals, you need to have established in your life, here's the direction I'm headed. Listen, if you're not aiming at anything, you're going to hit it every time. And yes, I know there's been numerous goals that I've set in my life that I did not achieve. But I accomplished a lot more than I would have if I hadn't set a goal. Last year, I wanted to read a number of books outside of my normal study, outside of preparing for messages. I had a stack of books I wanted to read. And Pastor Derek makes me look really bad because he reads like twice as many and he gets them all done. But hey, I read 3 books last year outside of all my other studying. That's more than I would have if I hadn't set a goal, if I hadn't had a direction. There's no joy like accomplishing something. What are your goals today? What are you planning to accomplish for God or accomplish for good of yourself or others? If I said to you, hey, let's sit down and let's talk about your goals. Where are you headed? Do you have any goals for your relationships? Have any goals for your financial future? I mean, beyond just, oh, I want to be rich. Everybody's got that goal. What are your goals? How are you going to accomplish that? What's your steps to achieve that? Where are you headed? What about we need to set goals. Desire, hey, accomplish them. If you want some help with setting goals for your life, I'll be glad to meet with you, talk to you about it. We'll help you build and establish attainable goals. They got to be attainable. I'll meet with you and talk about it. Listen, desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. A present realization of success. Every time you succeed, it's victory. And you're singing again, I'm on the winning side. It gives you that in your heart and your soul, day by day or week by week, as you achieve success and know success. Every time it's present and realized, it again brings sweetness to your life. As we close this morning, Ecclesiastes 11, verse number 7 says, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. You know, light is sweet. Isn't it nice to go out on a sunny day? Light is sweet. Well, I've given you some light this morning. Some light from the Word of God about how to have a sweet life. We've given you a life hack this morning. How to have a sweet life. We've just got to put it into practice. Let it go beyond the pages that you have in your hands. Put them into your life and let God use it to bring sweetness to your days. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for today and your love for us this time around your word, for these principles that are always true in every day and every time. And Lord, if we could but put them into practice in our life, we could see that great sweetness that you would desire for us, that you want us as your children to enjoy, to have. Lord, I pray you would help us to be able to experience a truly sweet life as we've been blessed by you. We'll thank you for it. Ask you to go with us in the morning service, that you would give us a great time around your word with your people. In Jesus' name, amen.